I'll take it away. We'll move over to the other side of the state of Alabama for an entirely different soil and an entirely different situation. But let me back up and thank my co-authors. Dennis Delaney is an extension agronomist, Dr. Dennis Delaney on the campus at Auburn that has helped a lot with this project. Rudy Yates is an area extension agronomist in the West Alabama area. And Dr. Gobina Haluka is a soil chemist, and he is currently doing a lot of the soil chemistry work on this for this project, which I won't go into a lot of detail with. I also want to thank Cotton Incorporated for really sticking with us over the years of this test. And as you'll see, we have very little data after 7 years of work to really share with Cotton Incorporated. But they have been a sponsor along with the Cotton Commission for sponsoring this project. The site of this test is, for the first 3 years, this project started in 2001. And it was, we did it for 3 years, and I see Rudy Yates in the back. I didn't know he was even here. Thank you, Rudy, for showing up. But we did this for the first 3 years on farmers' fields in West Alabama, and we had lots of problems. So we decided to move it to the Black Belt Research and Extension Center, which is in the same general area. In Alabama, we refer to the Black Belt Prairie as this pink area on the map here. It's a general area primarily of verdict-type soils. The same soils extend into Mississippi. Jack Barco talked about a leaper yesterday, and we would include that as a Black Belt Prairie soil. And you have similar soils in East Texas. But for us, these soils are unique, especially for cotton production, because most of our cotton in the state of Alabama and in Georgia are grown on our coastal plain soils or on our well-drained ultisols in North Alabama. These soils have generally poor internal drainage, poor infiltration. When wet, they are very wet. And when dry, they can crack. Because they are verdisols, as you see here. The farm study that we did from 2001 through 2003 was on a Houston clay, and at the experiment station it was on a Vaden clay. But that gives you an idea of the type soils we're dealing with there. They're not unusual in Texas, but they are unusual for us. Going back over 150 years, just before the Civil War, this was the center of cotton production in the United States. The Black Belt region of Alabama and Mississippi and the Delta. The Mississippi Delta was where the cotton was produced. I'm told in 1850, 50% of the wealth of the United States was shipped out of the port of Mobile. And that wealth, the other 50%, went out of New Orleans and Charleston because it was cotton that was exported from this central Alabama Black Belt region out of the Port of Mobile. Recently, of course, cotton has left the Black Belt and been replaced with other crops and pine trees to some extent and catfish ponds to another extent. But there are about 30,000 acres of cotton left of farmers growing cotton on what we consider Black Belt prairie soils. And for a decade now, they have been reporting problems. In 2000, 2001, 2002, we diagnosed a lot of these problems as foliar diseases due to the cultural practices. And there were a lot of foliar diseases that were defoliating cotton in August. But I never could convince myself or convince the farmers that some of this wasn't due to potassium. This particular site, this was on a farmer's field, a very high-yielding crop, probably about 2.5, 3 bales per acre. And, of course, we saw the potassium deficiency there, and we diagnosed it as potassium deficiency. But next door, where they didn't have any potassium deficiency, there was a very few boles on the plants, too. So it was really, again, it was a situation really due to the yield. But we started this test to really determine the need for additional potassium fertilizations for high-yielding cotton on the Black Belt soils and determine if cotton will respond to other fertility treatments, because the reality is there has never been a fertility experiment done on these type soils in at least 50 years in Alabama. Jack, with all due respect to your work in Mississippi, but we just couldn't convince our farmers that it wasn't a potassium deficiency or that they the need for phosphorus or nitrogen rates. We just had no studies. We wanted to determine the optimum nitrogen rate, and we wanted to, with Dr. Haluka's work, we wanted to look at some of the soil test methodologies that we're currently using for evaluating K on black belt soils, which I really won't get into today. When we started the move to the experiment station, we adopted an experiment outline very much like what we have on some of our other outlying units. We call it the rates of NPK test, and that's a view of the rates of NPK test at the Tennessee Valley Station. We took the same treatments, and hopefully we were starting another long-term experiment at the on the black belt soil, since we did not have one. Here we have 5 or 6 rows wide, depending on the location, and 25 feet deep. And we applied all the P and K and half of the nitrogen at planting, and half of the nitrogen was applied at side dress. This was done on the farmer's fields before 2005 and on the experiment station after 2005. Well, first of all, I want to do a little moaning and groaning and kind of show you what kind of results we have. These are non-irrigated. None of our cotton that I'm aware of in the Black Belt is irrigated. These are the same problems that our farmers are facing. 2001, we planted it on our site. It was a newly cleared site. We had a total crop failure. We had deer. This was on a farmer's field. We had deer grazing our cotton. We had weeds. We had diseases. We got no yield. 2002, we moved to a new farmer's field. Looked pretty good. Had a good season. We averaged about over 2 bales per acre. We felt pretty good on 2002. Then in 2003, excessive rains averaged 450 pounds. Oh, by the way, in 2002, one of the problems we experienced on that site is the farmer came in there and put 50 pounds of nitrogen per acre over all our plots. So that kind of messes up your nitrogen rate studies. But then in 2003, averaged 450 pounds of lint per acre. Pretty disappointing. We decided to move it. We moved it to the Black Belt Research and Extension Center, thinking we'd have a little more control over our plots. And we planted sorghum Sudan grass in 2004, hoping to mine potassium off of the site before we established our plots. Well, army worms got in there and destroyed our sorghum Sudan grass, so we had nothing in 2004. Remember Katrina 2005 that Wayne's talked about? We had 3 tropical storms to come through during 2005, our first year on the Black Belt Experiment Station. Average lint yield, these soils, when they get wet, folks, they are wet. You can't even walk out in the plots. 230 pounds of lint per acre. I can't report that data. By the way, I did give a talk at this conference in 2004 on the 2002 and 2003 data. Then in 2006, we had a record drought, opposite. It was driest at the Black Belt Station than it has ever been before. We averaged 360 pounds of lint per acre. And then in 2007, we had another record drought all over the southeast. Everyone's aware of that. We've been talking about it. But fortunately, we had a little rain in late June and early July on the station. And I am very proud to report, after 7 years, 130 pounds of lint per average. So I apologize to Cotton Incorporated. We have tried, folks. And I want to show you what we've actually done. And maybe one of these days, if we can continue to get funding, I can't imagine anybody wanting to fund us after this record. But if we can continue to get funding, we'd like for these experiments to become another long-term soil fertility experiment. The state. We have nitrogen rates holding P and K constant up to 150 pounds of nitrogen per acre. We have P rates from 0, actually up to 100, because treatment number 4 is our 100 pound P2O5 rate. These soils traditionally test low in phosphorus. we rate them low, although as you'll see, we rarely see cotton response to phosphorus. We do rate them low. And, of course, K was the main thing we wanted to look at. And we have K rates from 0 up to 100 pounds K2O per acre per year. And just for the fun of it, we threw in a no-lime plot. These plots have a pH of about 6. Some of the soils in this area can have a pH up to 8. But this was an acid site. We plan not to put any lime on that plot. And then we have a no-nothing plot just for the fun of it. Because you always, when you get a 360-pound lint per acre average, you'd like to have something with a lower yield than that. So we have the no-nothing plots. So on the old farm test in 2003, about the only thing, and I did report these in 2004 at the Beltwide Cotton Conference, about the only thing that we got out of those 3 years, two of them being disaster years, was a nitrogen applied at planting and as a side dress. We, in 2003, which was that wet year, remember, 2003, we had very low average yields. This was our regular test right here, from 0 to 100, actually went up to 180 pounds of nitrogen per acre on that site, and pretty dismal results. But when we came back in the end of June, after that wet May, wet June, we came back and put on an additional up to 120 pounds of nitrogen, we got some fairly decent yields. These soils, you have a tremendous amount of denitrification in wet years. And we lost it all. There's no leaching, but denitrification is a serious, serious problem. And from that, we strongly recommend that farmers put on the bulk of their nitrogen as a side dress, wait as late as possible. And I'm interested in what Jack may have to say about that. This is the rainfall during the 2 years we had the on-farm test. And you can see in 2003, extremely wet. May, almost 9 inches, 8 inches in June, almost 7 inches in July. Very wet year. And then 2002, which was one of the better years that we had about, what would be considered more of a normal rainfall pattern except for a very dry April. Now moving to what we hope is our permanent site at the Black Belt Research and Extension Center, looking at the initial soil test when we started in 2005, we normally use the Malic 1 procedure for most of our soils in the state of Alabama. That's our standard procedure in Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee. But for these particular soils, these high CEC, highly buffered Black Belt soils, we use an adaptation of the Mississippi, what we call the Mississippi Lancaster extract. It's the same extract that Mississippi uses, although we have a slight modification. And those are the soil test results that you would have either one of these procedures. We do not recommend the Malic 1, but phosphorus would be low. I haven't gotten to my results yet. Potassium, though, is very high. Whichever procedure you use, potassium is very high. Of course, calcium and magnesium are real high on these soils. But it won't take me long to show you the results. That was in 2006. That's the plots. See that in the background? That's that corn. There was another test back there. That's what it looked like in 2006. There are the cracks between. This was in late July. And you can see these verticils could give you some pretty nice cracks in a dry year, and it looked just like that this year. Rainfall, wet 2005, very dry 2006. Again, this is 2007. We got a little rain in July that gave us some decent yields. Those are the average yields the last 3 years. Again, wet year, extremely wet, extremely dry, and thank goodness for 2007, which was a dry year, but we got some decent yields. These are the nitrogen rate responses. This is that wet year. You could almost throw that one out. The yellow is 2007. We're seeing a response probably up to about 90 pounds of nitrogen per acre. I'd like to see us where we had some really good yields. Phosphorus rates. Phosphorus rates, no response to phosphorus. Now, that wet year, you could throw that one out. you can throw this year out. But really no serious response to phosphorus, maybe a little bit in this year, but I'd like to have some higher yields. And the potassium, we do see some significant responses to potassium. Even with these low yields, we are seeing some significant responses to potassium, in especially in 2007 here, which was the only good year we had there. But we want to continue these experiments. They officially ended this year, but we had, as you've seen, we've had 7 years in an attempt to get some good data, and we've to yet. And I'm very anxious to talk to Jack and others and find out how you do it in Mississippi on these soils, because I'm very frustrated. I know our farmers facing the same situation if they're growing cotton on these type soils. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. Give me a round of applause.
Yep.